The cloud of glory, the cloud of glory is blowing. Let us walk with the cloud, walk with the cloud. Let your spirit let us move on together as we follow in new heights we attend as we move with the cloud. Let us let us move with the cloud, brethren, move with the cloud. Let us move with the cloud, move with the cloud. Come, let us move with the cloud. Let our spirit be aroused, and our strength be removed. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We bless you for the new dispensation in Zion that you are declaring. You are now declaring. You are now causing to comfort in our midst, even in Zion. Lord, we thank you for the days of captivity, for the days of Baal worship, of servitude, that you are bringing them and you are causing them to pass. Lord, we ask that there will be strength in our minds. You might strengthen us with strength in the inward man. Lord, we come to arise in the inward man. We come to break up the chains. We come to possess our possessions. Lord, we come to receive strength to arise in the Spirit. Lord, our prayer is that the voice of the Lord will come. It will come, and it will visit the dungeons. It will visit the prison houses, and it will bring captivity and bring a release. We bring our prison conditions. We bring the loins. We ask, Lord, that the water of your word might wash and cleanse and bring a liberty. Lord, let eye salve be applied to our eyes. Let there be a twinkling of our eyes. Let there be an earthquake that will visit these images, these stone altars, these generational pillars, these groves that we have protected for so long. Let the word of the Lord be strong upon them, O God. You cause the wilderness to skip. You cause the mountains to be broken down. You cause the valleys to be filled. Let the crooked places be made straight, O God. We bring the offering of our inwards. Let their Urim and the Tumim be etched and established. That your lights and your perfections might be fully and completely established. Let the voice of the Lord roar. Let the shout of the King comfort. Let there be comfort. Let there be healing. Let there be ministry in different dimensions. Let the voice of man be taken away. And let the voice of the Lord go forth over the camp of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a burden that I call it the tabernacle of the mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. By grace of God, we'll be doing this for today and tomorrow. We want to take everybody along. So let's start with this scripture. 1 Corinthians verse 2, reading from verse 4, says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I want you to know verse 6. It says, "However, we speak wisdom among them that are matured, that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the hidden wisdom of God, or the wisdom of God in a mystery, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Amen. The things we'll be talking about are things that deal with maturity. Amen. There are things that deal with maturity because God wants to give us bones to chew. Amen. The days of milk are over. However, those who need to drink milk, there is provision for that. But the time has come when God is saying, we should move forward. Amen. There is a moving forward in the house of God. Hallelujah. The cloud of glory is moving. Let the people of God move with the cloud. Amen. So, the Hebrews 6 talks about, it says, if we need to go and lay foundation, then we will go back and lay the foundations. Repentance from dead works, faith unto God, and so on. But the time has come to move forward, and today we shall be, we will try to move forward. We will try to address the issues of the mind. Amen. This word has been coming in bits and pieces, but at this time there is a burden to bring it together. So today will just be, you know, when you are building a house, you have to lay the foundation, and then you bring the superstructure. So today we will try to put the foundation together, and then by tomorrow, by God's grace, we should be finishing the superstructure. I want to start from 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Verses 18, go to 30. You know the story. I have many things to look at, so I'm not going to go into all the details. You just take down your notes, you can look at it. 1 Kings 18, 30. Go to 30. Now it says, and Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he did something. He says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Amen. So we are addressing the altar of the Lord that has been broken down. Because God is building the altar. He's restoring the altar. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. I'm the candidate for that altar to be repaired. Amen. Amen. You know, when the wind of healing is coming, as came this morning, and will continue to come in the days to come, the healing is not just for, the healing for the body is good, but that's not where God is going to. He's speaking about the healing of the altar that is important to him. Amen. And we will show scripturally what this altar is. Amen. We will show also the things that need to be taken down and how it is going to be taken down. Amen. Hallelujah. But there is a spirit of Elijah that is now present. Amen. Hallelujah. The spirit of Elijah, you can see it all through scripture. But when you go to the history of Israel, after this experience, there were a few high points when that spirit of Elijah came to deal with the altars. Amen. So Elijah was one of them. And at the time Elijah came, there was Baal worship all over the land. And you know, when you only need to look around you. Well, the blind cannot see, but those whose eyes are being opened by God, they will see that there is Baal worship all over the land. Amen. And in the midst of that, God is raising a new generation. And he's repairing the altar of the Lord. Amen. And it is there for you to determine what's going to happen to you. But as for me and my house, amen, this altar must be repaired. Hallelujah. Because there is grace to repair it. You know, another man came, his name was Jehoshaphat. Before him, there was Baal worship all over the place. And when he came on the scene, the Bible says, and he removed the high places. He began to destroy the altars. Amen. And then his great-great-great-grandson came. His name was Josiah. He also began to destroy and break down the altars. Hallelujah. You know, the days of those days are over, because there's a measurement. You know, just like among the kings of Israel, there was a measurement. And the measurement was who and who were those who destroyed the altar. Those are the ones that did right in the sight of the Lord. The other ones, they came, did so and so and so, but however, the high places were not removed. Amen. I don't want to be a wannabe. Hallelujah. I know the high places that need to be removed are within. Hallelujah. So that's why those days are over. You know, just gyrating, running around, it's not going to go much further. Amen. Because the cloud of glory is moving on. And I'm praying that God will help me to move with that cloud. And the cloud is to take off the shovels and the mattocks and the diggers and do what? Break down the altars. And these altars are within, they're not without. Amen. So, Elijah, you know the story. But you see, there is an incentive. There are two incentives in this story. You know, I'm not going to go too much. When you go home, you can read it. But let me just summarize, because I have a lot of things ahead. Two things. One, before this time, there was no fire. Before this time, there was no rain. I want you to mark that. You know, there was famine all over the land. There was no, the altar of God, of course, was destroyed. There was no offering. There was nothing going on. Not to talk of the rain. There was been no rain upon the land. There was dryness all over the place. Amen. When Elijah repaired the altar, two things happened. The Bible says the fire fell. Can we see that? Can you just come down a bit? Come down. Verse 38. Then, you understand? There is something that must happen before then. Hallelujah. Amen. Something must happen before then. Hallelujah. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Hallelujah. And you know the story. But it didn't just stop there. Elijah told him, go and look. And in the course of that dealing with God, the Bible says the rain fell also. Let's go to the last verse. Go, just move down. Okay. So, and it came to pass. No. Verse 45. It says, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and with wind, and there was great rain. Hallelujah. I want to prophesy that rain is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. But the rain is coming for the place where the altar has been repaired. One. It's coming to the place where the fire has come. Two. And it's coming to the place where the rain is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. So it is left for you and I to determine where you want to be. The days of church are over. I don't want to get much into that. But let me go to the next thing that I want to introduce with. 2 Kings 17. From verse 23. Sorry. Let's go to verse 1. Now, 2 Kings 17 is a summary of what I'm talking about. Because it led to something. Amen. It led to a judgment. Now it says, in the 12th year of Ahaz, okay, verse 2, he said, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the king of Israel that were before him. And against him came Shalman, Manasseh, and so on. Okay. Go up. Okay, from verse 7. He said, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and the king of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. Verse 12, for they served idols, whereof the Lord has said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which are commanded by your fathers, which are sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks or their hearts, like the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimony which he testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their daughters and their sons to pass through the fire, and they used divination and enchantment, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore was the Lord very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight, that there was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in all the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria. Amen. Okay, as I'm reading it, I was hearing something in my heart. Someone was saying, well, that is Old Testament. That's what I'm hearing in my heart. Amen. Well, this is not Old Testament. It's New Testament. Because for them, the reason why God judged them was because of idols and images. All right? And God is saying that the same is our condition. Amen. So there is no excuse to say, well, they did so and so. And we are as we get on today and tomorrow, we are going to see that this is our condition. And there is a call for you and I to shape up. Amen. And we will see there are consequences. There is a consequence to them. And there will be a consequence to me and to you if we do not change our ways. Praise the Lord. Next scripture, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 10, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 10, sorry. 10. Okay. It says, from verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We're going to define what flesh means. Amen. We'll look at them. We're going to get into the world. We'll see what flesh means. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations or images. So all those images we are reading that cause problems with for the people of God in the old, those images are still alive and even stronger. Amen. Say, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Say amen now. Say amen. Amen. You know, it's good to rejoice. It's good to have a good time in the Lord. That's good. But brethren, there is a work to be done. There is work. And God is saying, let's move on. Amen. When we move on, we come to the issue. There is a controversy. Amen. Say amen. There is an issue. And there is a controversy. Amen. And that controversy is what we are looking at. It says what? Okay, let's even read. It says, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. Amen. When my obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's a condition to it. So there are places God is going to open to some people. And those places will be places for those who are obedient. Amen. And that obedience is tied down to something. It has to do with the imagination. It has to do with the thoughts. It has to do with the, you know, those things in the mind. It has to do with the settings and conditions in the mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to go to Leviticus 23. But before that, I'm sorry, I'm being led somewhere else. So let's go to Ezekiel 8. Let's go to Ezekiel 8. Amen. 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 We are too, this hall is so quiet, and some people are sleeping. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Come down. Ezekiel 8, we know the story. It was talking about the temple of the Lord. Amen. I'm trying to make a case. Amen. He says the temple of the Lord, but there were images in this temple of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So I don't have time to read all of it, but let's read verse 5. It says, then said unto me, Son of man, lift up thy eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar was an image. And the Bible call it the image of jealousy. Where was it? At the entry. Amen. Hallelujah. So when the Bible talks about images, please don't talk about, don't think about your village or anything you are seeing, even though that is secondary. But we're looking at this image in the temple of God at the altar. Amen. And it says, seest thou what they do, verse 6, even the great abomination that the house of Israel committed here, and so on and all that. Verse 8, it says, Son of man, dig in the wall. And when he dug in the wall, there was a wall, you know, a door that opened up. And he said, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do there. So he went in and behold every form of creeping thing and abominable beast and idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall. Amen. So we're saying there's a controversy, brethren. There's a controversy. Now, the controversy is not about blessing or prosperity. It's not about me, you know, that I'm successful, I'm doing job, God can bless me. Those ones are kindergarten. We've gone beyond that. So we're going on to perfection. So after we're eating and drunk, we are walking here and there, we are so and so, having done all, when we finish with that, we put it aside. We come into the controversy. The controversy is that God has a problem with his house. And he said there are images and there are altars, there are high places in the house. And these things are not easily found. He had to dig in the wall to find them. Amen. So someone says, I'm alright, I'm so and so, I'm righteousness of God, I'm so and so. Just keep quiet a bit and go to God. Let God open the wall. The wall speaks of the personality, speaks of the flesh, speaks of the soul, you know, the nature. When you dig in, there are things that we will see, and we are going to look at them. Verse 11, okay, it says, abominable beasts, idols, and there stood 70 men of the ancients of Israel in the midst with their incense. When you have an incense, you are bringing offering. Alright? And the thick cloud went up. It says, you see what they do? It says, seest thou what they do? In the dark. Every man where? In the chambers of where? Of his imagery. Amen. So, this is speaking and coming home. Amen. You know, when we gather together, every man is within himself. And God wants to cleanse his house. God wants to visit us in the chambers of our image. Hallelujah. The thoughts of our heart, the business of our thoughts, the business of our soul, Amen. God wants to clean the church at that level. Hallelujah. And God says those are things that deal with maturity. Amen. And he said, let us go on. Hallelujah. The devil will want us to stay at the lower, at the foot of the hill. But he says, go on. Go on. Hallelujah. Let's go up to Zion, to the mountain of the Lord. Amen. It goes on and on and on. I have to go on. But go and look at Ezekiel 8. Because he makes a case why we need to do something. Alright, so, and we find that in Leviticus 23. Let me go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. In 2010, or I think 11, I'm not very sure, I had a visitation. I had a visitation. I didn't see angels. I didn't see... But I had a visitation. Amen. Okay, so God came to me. I can't describe it all, but I know God came to me. And he began to speak to me from 1 Kings, where I read to you, and from this scripture. And he began to say something. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's look at verse 23. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and an holy convocation. So you shall do no Sabbath work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Amen. No, so we know, if you don't know, you can ask questions thereafter, but I have to go on. I have to assume you know. Amen. If you have problems, there is a foundation class. That's why we have that class. You can go ask questions to be clarified. But if you don't understand, you can ask questions after this. We'll also answer, but we have to move on. So this is speaking about the feast of blowing of trumpets. All right, there are three seasons. Okay, there are three seasons in Israel, as you also have three seasons of God's dealing with man. Okay, the first season was the season of Passover, being born again, and the second season was the season of Pentecost, and all the things that go with it, the miracles, gifts of the Spirit. And so there are all those things. There is nothing you are going to have now that people have not had 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. Alright, Azusa Street was almost a century ago, and whatever you're experiencing now, they did much more than we're even doing. So there is nothing new. Amen. So in God's season, we have come to that, but there is something that remains. Alright, and that's where we are. Okay, so there is a season beyond Pentecost. Alright, and that is where God is pushing us to. And that's where there are going to be more problems, more trouble physically. You are going to have more Ebola, more HIV, more Boko Haram, more kidnapping, more, all those things will increase. Much more. And the reason is because God must force the church forward. Amen. Say amen. Amen. So when you see these things, you must have understanding. Because there was a pressure on the flesh. Because if there is no pleasure, the flesh should not move forward. So those things are going to increase. And to the wise, this is to strengthen your heart, to prepare yourself for war. Amen. Now, the reason for this is that the church will come to this place on the seventh month. The seventh month is the last month. And on that month, you had three feasts, three of them. And that's where we are. That's where the church has come to. And that's where the world has come to. Now, the first season, the first day of the month, that means the beginning of that season, is the blowing of trumpets. That is, it's an announcement to move forward beyond Pentecost. I've had it for a long season. When I got born again in 1978, I started hearing it. There were men like Pai Epson, Mekamamba, all of them, they were blowing it. So it was a long time ago. Okay, but we are coming into another one, 27, verse 27. It says, and the Lord spake to Moses and said, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. That's where we are now. That's where the church has come to bang it down. Amen. It shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation. And you shall, what do you do on that season? You shall afflict your soul. That is the character of this season where we are. Amen. If you haven't understood it, understand it. He's not saying the other things are not there. People will not be born again. You will not be speaking in tongues, healing. Those ones will be going on. But that is not, it's not the focus. It's not the current thing God is doing. Amen. The movement has moved inside. So what God is doing has moved inside, because now it is particular. Alright? You say you shall afflict your souls, and you are going to bring an offering. That offering is the offering of the soul. Maybe tomorrow we will see. The soul by its nature is an offering. That is, the soul by its constitution is an offering. The soul, the word for soul is bread. And if you check it, it means smoke, sacrifice, offering. That is the word for smoke, nefesh, or suki. Alright, so we will deal with that tomorrow, but not today. So even the nature of the soul, everything the soul does is an offering. The way God created it. Amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. You know, so we are coming into God's business. Okay, so it says, you shall make an offering, and it has to be by fire unto the Lord. Okay, and you shall do no work in that day. What work is he speaking about? What activity is he speaking about that says Moses will answer that question also? For it is a day of atonement. The Bible says he has given the blood to make an atonement for the soul. Amen. Answer me now. There is a way out. Okay, and you say he's giving the blood to make an atonement. So any man who wants an atonement will receive it for his soul. Amen. So to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Look at 29. This is where you separate the boys from the men, the sheep from the goats, the wise and the foolish virgin. This is where you find them. 29. For whosoever soul, it didn't say assembly or church. Because here now we have gone beyond. Well, church, you say, what does it? Yes, it's good. But we are looking at relativity. Huh? We are looking at relativity of language. Alright? Here it is the soul, you as an individual. I as an individual. For whatsoever soul, it doesn't matter who I am or who you may be. Amen. That doeth any work in that day. Okay, that shall not be afflicted in the same day. That soul shall what? Shall be welcomed into the house. Shall be what? Cut off. Amen. That means you are with the people of God, but it has passed you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The cloud comes and passes. Someone says the winter has come and gone. The summer has come and gone. And we are not saved. Hallelujah. So whatsoever soul that doeth any work in that same day, that soul will I destroy from among his people. Amen. So what exactly is he saying? He's saying that there is a consequence. Yesterday, Isaac was telling us, you know, God gives you a choice. Alright? Whichever one you take, there's a consequence. Someone who afflicts his soul, there is a consequence. There is a pressure. There is a remark. there is a reward that comes. Amen. For whosoever will not also do it, there is also a reward. There is also a judgment. Either way. So it is whosoever. And God has given you and I all that we require to make that choice. Amen. Say, as many as believed on his name, he do what? He gave them exousia. That's authority to choose. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
What don't you want to answer me?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody shake your neighbor and say, praise the Lord. Brother, praise the Lord. Brother, praise the Lord. Amen. Brother, God bless you. Say, praise the Lord. Amen. Say praise the Lord to your neighbor. So his mind is sleeping, he wakes up. Hallelujah. It is by fire, by thunder, anyway. However it must enter today. By fire and thunder. Amen. So you see, we are progressing. We are building. We are painting a picture. We are not yet landed, but the picture is important. So the Spirit of God is saying we have come to a special season in God. Amen. This season is different from others. It's not saying you will not be born again or you will not be healed. Today we are praying for healing. It's not saying pray for healing of body. After we have been praying and finished, we are well. Now, let's do the main thing. Amen. Let us go and address the issue. The issue is there are things inside our minds. God says those things, they are offensive to him. Amen.
Amen.
And God says, deal with it. Do something about it. That's the message. And this is the season. So if God makes a season, he makes a provision also. Amen.
Amen.
When they say everybody who wants to receive more is a guy like your name, follow them more. If after they have reached, come 2 weeks later, I say, my friend, they have thrown away the book. You understand? So when it is a clarion call, that is when you should go. Because that is when the anointing is hot. That's when there is grace. Then there's opportunity. Amen.
Amen.
There's more power now. Follow. You understand? If you delay, by the time you come, you say, sorry, the doors will be closed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you shall be a servant of rest. And you shall afflict your souls. In the night day, at even, until the following even, from even to even, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Amen. It's a season that God has set aside to deal with the soul. Amen. So when you hear people shouting so, it's not a new discovery. It's that there's a new season that has come. Amen. And you need to jump onto the train, but with understanding. Amen. We must have understanding. All right, let's move on to the second part of what I want to say. So we are speaking about affliction of the soul. The question is, what is the soul? Because if you are going to deal with the soul, you must first of all know what is the soul. Amen. You cannot fight what you don't know. Huh? How many people can fight what they don't know? You must first of all identify your enemy. Then you know how to deal with it. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, the devil always jumps the gun. The devil has jumped the gun. And there is so much all over the world about soul. You understand? All over the place. So, he has gone ahead and has corrupted the word of God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nevertheless, the word of God is still pure. Hallelujah. And those who will do his will know of the doctrine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you want to do the way, you will know. Hallelujah. Even if you have believed wrongly. Amen. If you are carrying some toxic waste, God will take it away and give you the right one.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8. You know, Hebrews is so sweet. I don't want to be carried away. But let's just enjoy some honey. Let's just take some honey for some time. Amen. He said, now, of the things which you have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty. We are in the heavens. Heavens means your soul. Amen. So when you read heaven, you have to read the different dimensions of it. Okay, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. That was what Brother Isaac was telling us this morning. The tabernacle of David. Didn't he mention it? God and the tabernacle of Moses. God set aside one to establish another one. Amen. So for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is necessary that this man should have somewhat also to offer. Amen. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. His tribe was from Levi, from Joseph, Judah, all right? And those who are priests were from tribe of Levi. So if he were on earth, he wouldn't even enter that tabernacle. Amen. He wouldn't enter that order. All right? And if anyone is still confused about Pentecost, forget those things. All right? Forget. God is not interested in brick and mortar. And by the grace of God, we will see. He's not interested in brick and mortar. There is something much more important to God. And it is that soul, that mind. And that's what the devil has taken. And he's feeding us with trash. Amen. Oh, my thing has gone up. Okay? So, I'm trying to paint a picture between the old and the new. Amen. I'm trying to paint a picture. Hebrews 8 is a comparison of the old and the new. In the old covenant, which you find Exodus 19, Exodus 20, Exodus 21, Exodus 22, 23, 24. Alright? 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. Those scriptures, they tell you the process of establishing the old covenant. Amen. And that covenant, the man had to go to the mountain to get it. Amen. And we discussed that yesterday. If the man had to go up to get it, the old, how much more the new? What do you need to do to get the new? Amen. Okay, we can continue. Verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. He said, foresee, same thing, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the spirit. Alright, you are reading mountain, but I'm telling you, in the spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Are we together? For Moses, he had to go to the mountain. Therefore, you and I will have to come up in the spirit. Hallelujah. Moses went up 40 days, 40 nights to get it. And he had a pattern. But the thing is, how can a man see that is blind? Because to see and receive the pattern, Moses, he was with God, he saw. This one, the man is going to receive the covenant within your soul, within your mind. And the Bible said that the God of this world has darkened, has blinded the minds of them that do not believe. So how can a man who is spiritually blind see and receive? Amen. Do you see the predicament? Hallelujah. The Bible says, as long as the scripture says there's a veil over the heart. Hallelujah. There's a veil over the heart. But that's not all the story. They say, however, the Lord is that spirit. Hallelujah. That when we turn to the Lord, the veil will be broken. And you can see. Then you can receive a blueprint. Hallelujah. Because this temple must be built according to the pattern. I hope you catch that. Did they catch it? The temple of your soul, and I dare say of the mind, because God really is addressing the mind, must be built according to the pattern you see. If the pattern you see is pastor, amen. Men become what they see. Amen. When you have an idol, you become like the idol, because that's the image you see. Hallelujah. If you can see the Lord, then you are transformed. So we all, with our open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed. Hallelujah. This place should be a place of change, and not a place of business. Amen. And may I add, this is not a solution center. Don't come here if you have need. This is not a solution center. This is a place for change. Do you agree with me? This is a place of change. It's a place where a man should be seeing the Lord. So if you are here with a motive, I have problem, let them perish the thought. Say amen now. Perish the thought. Hallelujah. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much more is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises? For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, go up now. He said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them out of Egypt. And did not, even that covenant, they did not continue with it. Verse 10. For this is the new covenant that I will make with the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Amen. It's spiritual warfare. You better believe it. It's spiritual warfare. Okay. So let me read the scripture. I know the scripture very well. So look at your Bible. Hebrews 8:10. He said, this is the new covenant. Amen. Look at your Bible now. Leave this one. In fact, maybe we should even switch it off. Okay. So look inside your Bible. So this is the new covenant. It says, I will put my law in the mind. Amen. It says, and I will write it upon the heart. Double emphasis. The mind and the heart. It's speaking about the same thing, but not quite the same. Amen. And I will be a God, and they shall be my people. Do you know what that means? I am not God's people if His law is not written in my heart. If I need food, God can give me food. If I'm sick, God will heal me. I don't have a job, God will give you a job. Amen. Those who have a son, you have a son. The son is wayward. Is he not your son? You have a daughter, the daughter is wayward. Brother, is he not your daughter? If you say give him money, give him money. You don't have a daughter until that daughter becomes a daughter. Don't you understand? You don't have a son until that son comes and fits into the image of that you have told him. So we need to stop playing games. There is a measure. The gospel is not according to us, it's according to Him. There is a gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you understand? And there is a first man who has gone this way. It's a standard. If you want, you want to be a Christian, you be like him. Everyone else will become a wannabe, also ran. Amen. May God make sure that I'm not also ran. See, I thought you say amen. Amen. I will not be a wannabe. Hallelujah. Okay, well, verse 10 is there. All right. It says, I will put my laws into their mind. We're going to break down the words. We're going to see it. Okay, we'll see what is law. What does it mean? What does God mean by law? What is mind? Because remember, he says we shall afflict the soul. So in order to afflict the soul, we must go into the soul and look at all the things that are happening there. Because it is there you will find out. The images on the wall. You will see the ancients. You will see the tables and the offerings and the altars going on full business in the house of God. Hallelujah. It says, and I will write them. In grapho, write. Make an impression. I will write them in their hearts. Then I will have a people. And those people will have a God. Amen. As they look at verse 11, it says, they shall not teach any man his neighbor. Not transferable. You know, when you buy the ticket, say, this ticket is non-transferable. It's not negotiable. The date cannot be changed. The time cannot be changed. The owner cannot be changed. You buy it once and for all. Amen. That's what he's saying here. They shall not teach every man his neighbor. And every man saying what? No. Ginosko the Lord. For they shall know me. There are two levels of knowing mentioned. Amen. From the least to the greatest. Amen. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. In that, he said a new covenant. He had made the first old. Hallelujah. Now that which decayed and waxed old is what? Fading away. Is it possible that I can still be operating under the old and still be a sweet sister and a sweet brother? Is it possible? That is, I am walking by the old, but the old has faded away. You know, there are some brethren, they came to Peter and Paul and said, have you received of the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, sir, don't be annoyed. Which one is this receive of the Holy Ghost? The little we know is what? The baptism of John. Hallelujah. That is what happens when we are lagging behind. And brethren, we are lagging behind. I thought I would hear a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. What is happening? Everybody is so quiet today. What am I doing? Yeah. Amen. Is it possible that I can be like those brethren who say, which be this Holy Ghost you are talking of? Well, I've never heard that men can receive the Holy Ghost. He said, unto what were you then baptized? He said, unto John's baptism. Amen. And then Paul now sat down and began to bring an instruction. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a difference between the old and the new. But let someone misunderstand. The old is important. The old is the foundation. So this is my foundation. This is the Old Testament. It's the foundation. But you know, the Old Testament did not begin from the beginning. So there was something before it. And then there shall be something after it. Amen. And what you have is eternity. So time begins here. And time shall end here. And then eternity will continue. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I should write it on top. Okay, I'm saying there is a time, eternity. Okay, so let's turn it upside down. And then you have the Old Testament. Alright? So the Old Covenant is superimposed upon an eternal work God is doing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the old came and has passed and gone. But the thing God is doing has still continued. But the people of God were still hard. Even in end time, we are still hard to make the switch. But God is still blessing us. But for how long? Because Boko Haram is coming. They're coming closer. And God expects you to be operating at a higher dimension to deal with it. I thought I would hear amen. Oh yes. They are wild spirits. God is releasing them. They are locusts. Don't you understand? They are locust spirits. They are rocking. And God has said that the sons of God must also rise. Be strong in their mind. Don't you know? You need strength. The man that shoots the gun doesn't have power. I showed you the scripture. It says, he that is slow to anger is what?
Mighty.
Is better than the mighty man. And he that ruleth his own spirit, that what? That he that overruns Borno State. Is that correct?
Yes.
Huh? The man that is running all over the place, ISIS, he doesn't have power. The man that has power is the man that rules his spirit. Don't you understand? When you can have authority and dominion in your spirit, then you are qualified. Because you can stay in your room and say, "Thus says the Lord." And all of them will line up and say, "What do you want us to do?" Amen. Oh, it's not loud enough.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there's a lesson God is trying to teach us, that we need to build energy and strength somewhere. Amen. Because when you see the man on video, what is he trying to do? It's psychological warfare. Eh? When you kill one, another one jumps out and says, "I'm shaken." You kill another one, he jumps out and says, "You say, you have not killed me." Another one jumps out. Eh? You kill Bombo Joma, another one comes out and says, "I'm the real one." What do you think is going on? It's the mind. It's mind game. Don't you understand? Why would the man kill you and come and show the head on the TV? What does he want to do to you? It's fear. He's going into your mind to rule you. When they say, "Come to Abuja," I say, "Please, brethren, can we have a night vigil? Because I'm going to Abuja." Because they are throwing bombs in Abuja. Don't you understand? It's the mind. It's the mind. It's the mind. It's the mind. Hallelujah. That is the captivity God wants to deal with.
Amen.
Amen. So, verse 10. Let's go to verse 10. It says, "I will put my law into the mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and then they shall be to me a people." God has a people when his law is in their mind. Amen. Okay, let me show you. Romans 8. We're still making a case for the mind, though. Why we have to. Romans 7. Go to 20. Go down to 19. Let's see 19. Okay, it says, "For the good that I do not, but the evil which I would, that I do." Who's saying all this? Do you know the man? Who is saying all this, Brother Julius? Brother Paul. No less than the Apostle Paul. That's the man. After he has preached and gone everywhere, do you see why you need to sit down? After you have bound and loosed and done all your crusades, sit down. No? Listen to the man that has done more crusades than you. He has worked more miracles than you. Eh? The man is now called, is giving you his testimony. He says, for the good that I would, that I do not. Is that a, is it a familiar story? For the evil which I will not, that I do. For why? For if Frank will say, Pukwa, why therefore? What is the problem? A man like Paul, does Paul hate God? Sister, does Paul hate God? This is a man that loves God, but he's telling you that the good I want to do, I cannot do it. I find that the evil I want to do, that is where. While we're talking now, you are doing the things you don't want to do. As you are even in church now. Your mind is going to places where you don't want you to go to. Pukwa, why therefore? Now, if I do that, I would not. So, one day, God gave me a revelation. It's okay. I understand that there is something happening. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it. But something is in me. Amen. Hallelujah. See, how can sin dwell in him? Where is the sin dwelling? Where is it? Okay. I find then a law that when I will do good, evil is present with me. So Paul is saying, this is Paul saying that he found a law in his mind. So that's why I'm telling you, this matter is beyond born again, not born again, Pentecost, gifts of healing, crusade all over, born a man and so on. We thank God for all those crusades. But when you have finished, having done all, let us go and listen to Paul, who had done more crusades than all of us put together. For I delight in the law of God. Where? After the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of what? If the law is warring against the law, that means that this other evil law is where? Also in the mind. Am I reading right? You people are saying so. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my. So it's not just that it is warring. The law doesn't want to war. It is taking captive. And when they take, when the Boko Haram takes you captive, it's for a purpose. Either you cook food for them, you go to market for them, you do all that things for them. They cannot waste their food on you. Don't you understand? If you are captured, it's for a purpose. And the devil is taking the mind for a purpose. Hallelujah. He said, oh wretched man that I am. But I want to say, oh blessed man that I am. Because I found out my problem. Don't you understand? When you find your problem, you become a blessed man. Amen. The story changes. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Read verse 25 now. Because the man answers it. But I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So then, with the what? Mind. I myself do what? Serve the law of God. Hallelujah. But with the mind that is not under the control of the Spirit of God, I also serve the law of flesh. Hallelujah. So the question is the law of sin, Okay, so the thing is, what law is ruling over the mind? Alright, have we made that agreement? So he's saying that the whole thing begins and ends with the mind. It begins and ends with the mind. Somebody say, oh no, this brother has come with all this Christian science and knowledge. Look, I just want to bless the Lord. I just want to worship the Lord. All these high things, I'm not interested. Well, I wish you were interested. Amen. Because when men slept, the enemy went and sold theirs. Amen. He went and locked up and took over the mines. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you want to be truly free, you begin from the mind. Because this is why he says, I will make a new covenant. I'm going to go to where the problem is. Huh? The problem is in the mind. Because there is a code, there is a computer software in the mind. That software is a software for evil. Amen. God said, I'm going to go there and decode it. I'll go there and switch it off. Amen. And I'll put a new law. I'll put a new software, a new program. Amen. And then I'll have a people. Hallelujah. This is true freedom. A man that does what he wants to do. Is that not a free man? Say amen now. A man that loves God and says, I must love God. When someone says, don't love God, say no. And you have the authority. Amen. He says, Nigeria, big giant of Africa. No problem. Somebody comes and he says, now I'm coming to lord over you. And we are gasping for bread. Don't you understand? We are gasping for bread. The whole army is not up to 60,000. Those guys are massing up close to 70. So you are looking at numbers, you are looking at strength. And that is the issue. So God is taking the battle to the gates. Hallelujah. Say, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not rule over it. Don't you understand? Amen. Okay, so we need to go on. You can read down and down. You know that is going to be later on. Now the scripture tells us that we must afflict the soul. Okay, and we have tried to show, I could still do that, but it's going to take time. Not necessary, I believe. For us to move forward to the second part, the third part of this ministry, we need to look at the soul. What does the Bible say about the soul? And the reason why we need to deal with it. So let's look at Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye changed or transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may experience, that you may testify that which is good and acceptable and perfect concerning the will of God for you. Amen. Because the will of God is good, is acceptable, and is perfect. Amen. But it depends on where. You may just stop at goodwill, and you still are not convinced that. You understand? So there is a progression. And it all depends on what you are doing with your mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when we look at, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. What? Okay, sir. What? The... Romans 8. So 12. Romans 12. 1 and 2. What's the time? What's the time? Thanks. Okay, so what's the point?
I was thinking that if you just sit there, emphasize the fact that the key
thoughts.
If you were there, that we should ask God for the hearing of our mind.
Okay.
This scripture is saying that when our minds are new, then we'll be able to present our bodies and give sacrifice. And so we can accept it. Otherwise, we will struggle with the mind being unrenewed. We will not allow our bodies to be presented to God as a living sacrifice. So, the call there is for the renewal of the mind.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That is, a mind that is not renewed will not find the need to do anything about his body.
The mind is right.
Amen.
That's not the end point. The end point is in the transformation of the mind. The renewing is the process that brings about the transformation. That's what the so the end of it is let my mind be transformed, be totally changed. And the process in which that transformation will come is by constantly renewing my mind. Then the change will come.
I understand it. The two of them that are approaching it from two different points. The thing is the change in the mind. You know, and it says be ye transformed by that. So we are going to see the process. You know, we're going to look at all that. So the point is that if we do not do anything about our minds, then it will be difficult to bring any offering. Okay? Because see, the mind must be convinced. You must be convinced that you need to do something about the idol. Amen. The idol is in the mind, and there are spirits that are driving the mind to do whatever it's doing. It is a matter of spirit, and we're going to see. There are spirits that have been lodged and impacted in our minds. And that is the problem. Amen. Okay, at least you can say amen. I'm just blessing you by telling you that there are spirits that you have to cast out of the mind. Amen. We will see how we will do it. Okay, so let's go to Ezekiel. We'll still come back to this. We are just looking at an overview. We will go in and then we will look at how do we renew the mind and the processes of change. Are we in Ezekiel? Good. Go to verse 5. Ezekiel 1. Okay, let's read 4 and 5. Verse 4. Say, and I looked. This is Ezekiel, and behold, he saw a vision. Well, we've done much with a vision recently, so I remember that with the vision, it is specific, even though it's also prophetic. All right, in some of them, Ezekiel was a prophet of visions and a prophet of words at the same time. And behold, when we came out of the north, a great cloud, a fire enfolding itself, a brightness, and so on. And out of the midst, therefore, thereof came the color of amber and then fire. Verse 5 says, and out of this verse 4 experience came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Amen. So the vision Ezekiel was seeing was the vision of man. Are we agreed on that? Okay, so it was a vision of man. He was seeing the natures of man. Now, to be able to decode this, we need to travel far and wide. Look at other scriptures. So let's start from the beginning. God told Adam, I'm going to make you, I'm going to create you. I have a blueprint. That program of Adam hasn't stopped. Because there are two Adams. There is the Adam of Genesis, and then there is the Adam of Matthew. Amen. So the one of Genesis is the first Adam. And then there is another Adam created in the new covenant. So one is the first, one is the second, who is the last Adam. And both of them were created according to the image and the likeness of God. Amen. So God is creating man. And you are that man. Amen. So the work God is doing in you, he has a blueprint. And we are being encouraged to see that blueprint. Because when you see that blueprint, then you can order yourself, you can order your life to follow and to fit into that blueprint. Now, in this setting, we see that he says this man had these natures we are going to read about. Verse 6 says, and every one of them had four faces, and every one of them had four wings, and their feet were straight, and so on and so on. Verse 10. Now it says, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and they had the face of a lion on the right side, and then they had the face of an ox on the left, and they also had the face of an eagle. Amen. So this is the first place in the scripture where it gives this detail about the nature of man. Amen. Now, when we go to other places in the Bible, we will see that the man God created had three natures: the spirit, the soul, and the body. And we know he's not describing the body. All right, in this place, it's not the body that he's describing, because you can see your body, you can see my body. I have a head, a hand, leg, and so on. So this is a different nature that he's describing. And if you go to Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, now when a man dies, his spirit goes back to God, his body goes down, and then his soul goes to God for judgment. Alright, so by deduction, we know that these four natures are speaking about the nature of the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Answer me now. Okay, some people are wondering why I'm taking so much time. Yes, because there are some people who are hearing this for the first time, who this is not clear to. They need to get it clear. So let's take everybody along. So the soul has four natures. Now, if the Bible says you must afflict the soul, then you must know what you are dealing with. He's saying you are dealing with four natures. Remember, the picture he saw was a revelation. It was not a physical, it didn't see physical lion, physical ox. It was a vision that he had. He saw something in the spirit. So these four creatures you are seeing are four spiritual natures. Amen. Amen. Are we together? I won't allow you to sleep, because today is not a regular church something. We are in a teaching session. And teaching sometimes makes you doze. So we can say praise the Lord anytime we want. Hallelujah. So let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. The older ones, be patient. Let's take everybody along. Alright, so these four natures, remember, it's not the ox in your house, or the lion in the zoo, even though God is using that nature to speak to us, to show us what is happening within us. Amen. Amen. So if man has a body, man is the soul, and man has a spirit that enables it to communicate to God. So he's telling you that there's a realm of heaven that is within you, described as, you call it soul. Okay, this soul has four natures. It has the nature of a lion. How many people have met a lion before? Why did you talk to me? God punish you. That's a lion. And the man is inside there. Don't you understand? Amen. Hallelujah. And God is saying, brethren, we need to come up higher to deal with it. That lion must be changed. Don't you understand? The lion must be changed. And then he says there's an eagle also inside. You know what the eagle does? It flies. It can only fly. Alright? It sits down, it travels. Alright? And, you know, the eagle has the nature of flying to God. It's the only, only bird that can fly into the sun. The hotter the sun, the more it flies. The rougher the wind, the more the wind carries it. Don't you understand? And the wind speaks of the spirit. So you cannot function as an ego without wings. Don't you understand? The wind of the ego must be very strong. Hallelujah. Amen. So the more you stay in the word of God, the more your mind gets stronger, the more your mind can rise in the things of God. Don't you understand? Say amen now.
Amen.
That's why you fast. When you fast, you are trying to put down the flesh and give an advantage to your mind. To soar. Don't you understand? And God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts. So if the mind has the nature of a bird, it means that it can be a chicken. It can be a chicken. You know the chicken, it can try to fly. When wind comes, go very far, you go away for it to fall. Why? Because the wings are not built for flying. Amen. So of course, you read one scripture, only one Bible. So when they close, now let's go home. We want to go and eat rice, we're not closing. Because we want your mind to be strong in the things of God. Amen. The more you stay, the more your mind gets stronger. And you can fly. You can stay in God's presence for 1 hour, 2 hours, three, four, five. It's like 1 minute. Don't you understand? Because God, 1,000 years is like 1 day. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? That is the nature of the mind. When he goes out, he falls down. When he comes to the presence of God, he starts rolling on the floor. So that means we have to create a condition of fellowship all the time, so that your mind is always rising. Amen. So that's the secret. Create a fellowship condition for yourself. That's how to renew the mind. Create a fellowship condition. So the Bible says, when you are in the room, when you are on the road, when you are with your children, when you are standing up, what do? Always think of the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so there are these four realms of the spirit that is within you. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Amen. So we're saying there are four natures of the spirit that are within us. I remember the scripture. Can you show us Luke 17:20. No, well, let's be very patient. We're going to land very well. You know, Isaac took 1 month to land, but I'm going to take two days to land. So pray for me, brother. Pray for me now. You have four weeks. I have just 2 days to land. Amen. Okay. No. Look. 21. Okay. Let's read 20. He said, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. What did he say? The kingdom of God does not come with... doesn't come naturally. The kingdom of God is not natural. So these stories, we have left natural now. We are now going to the spiritual realms. We are moving into you, into me. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Amen.
Amen.
This is a direct statement. In your Bible, if you have a good one, it should be in red. How many people have a red one? Where they wrote that in? It shows that this is what Jesus said himself. Amen.
Amen.
This is the voice of the Lord. Amen. That the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Amen. That's why yesterday we were asking, I said one rascal boy said, God told him to go and build church. And we told him he's a businessman. Say he's a businessman, he's a businessman. God is not interested in businessmen. Because his kingdom is where?
Within him.
Amen. If a man comes not by this doctrine, don't open the door for him. He is an antichrist man. Okay, forgive me. But he's an antichrist man. Amen. Any man that does not come with this doctrine is antichrist. Hallelujah. Because the doctrine is saying the kingdom of God is within, because there is a realm of the spirit within you. Amen. And that realm of the spirit, God wants it. But somebody else is interested in it. Alright, let's see who that man is. Let's go to Isaiah 14. I hope you are writing down the scripture. You see, we are drawing a graph very, very well by the Spirit of God. So when you go home, you will look at it carefully and draw your conclusion. Because God will say, what is your verdict? What say ye? Amen. And they will ask you, is that your final answer? Then God take you on it. Amen. May the Lord help us to give a right answer.
Amen.
Come down to, I mean 10. Go to 10. Okay. It's a long story, but let's cut it short. Verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12 is direct. He said, how art thou fallen? From where? From my mind. Read the Bible with understanding. Amen. Say, how art thou fallen? From my emotions. From my desires. From my will. That's what he's telling you there. When you think of heaven, you come out and start looking outside, you will not see any devil on your outside. But if you look inside you, you will see many of them. Hallelujah. Say, how art thou fallen from heaven? From these heavenly realms within. That one is a wrong translation. It's not Lucifer. Lucifer is a Greek word. And it couldn't have been in the Old Testament. So let's go on. Son of brightness. Amen. How art thou cut down to the ground with this wicked in nations? Look at it now, what he said. For thou hast said in thy heart. This is the call of the devil. I will descend. No? I will do what? Ascend. That means he's going to heaven. Go to a people that are heavenly. And that's your mind, my mind. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. What? Above. That's to rule over the stars of God. The stars of God are the sons of God. So they that do righteousness shall shine forth as the stars. Amen. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also establish my throne upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. You know that song? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Great, beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city, the dwelling place of the great king. Amen. Say, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I mean, the different realms of the clouds. Look at it now. I will do what? I will be like the Most High. Hallelujah. That's a controversy, brethren. Amen. If you join army, they give you food. It's to go and fight. They say, brother, go. They are fight. Say, you won't go. They will capture you and sentence you and kill you because you ate army food for nothing. Amen. It's called mutiny. That's what they're doing now. God is feeding us, blessing us, giving us all the things we want so that we can do what? We can do something about this rebellion. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's why you are alive. That's why you are in this room. That's why God delivered you from accident. Don't you understand? Eh? So that you can do something about this. If we eat God's food for free, enjoy God's paradise for free, He will ask us questions. Amen. What have you done with all the blessings I've given you? And Nigerian Christians, God is blessing us for a purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, yet shall that be brought down to hell, to the signs of the faith. Amen. So this is the core of the issue. There is a controversy for the mind. There is a controversy for the soul. And the Bible says that we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but those who press on to the saving of the soul. Amen. I say again, the thing is not prosperity or no prosperity. Bless me or don't bless me. The issue is there is a rebellion. And that rebellion is in my heart. And God has quarantined the rebellion within your heart. So everybody has a portion. They say, you do something about it. And we are going to be measured by how much we were able to put down this rebellion. Do you understand? You become a son when you overcome this rebellion within. Amen. When you overcome, you become a son. By the way, that rebellion is spreading. It's not just dormant staying there quiet. I'm going to show that that rebellion is spreading. See, there are seven mountains. Five have fallen. The seventh one, sixth one is being overtaken. And the seventh one is yet to come. It's a sign. And brethren, the devil is expanding himself. When you see a fully grown man, take another person, put video camera, and carry knife, go away. Nobody needs to tell you that the game has changed. Darkness has gained another ground within the soul of man. But there is a good news also. Light is also gaining ground within the souls of other people. So it depends on what you are doing. If you are just lying down, enjoying fellowship, well, you just be a passenger in Zion. But I'm telling you, there are those who are climbing. This man saw a picture. He said he saw some people climbing up. Up the hill. Where are you? Are you climbing up? Are you going up? Are you dealing, putting down that rebellion within you? Amen. Or you're just coming every Sunday, you come and disturb the seat. Don't disturb the seat here. When you get something, go out and overcome. Amen. Put down the rebellion. Okay, let's look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Let's go verse 10. Let's look at 10. So every true prophetic vessel or ministry in the house must have this vision. Isaiah had it. Ezekiel had it. Amen. When you go up in the spirit, you must jam it. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. When you start rising in the spirit, you must jam this because you will know this is the burden. Hallelujah. And you can see two of them, they had the same thing. Different people, different time. Isaiah was lived many, many years before Ezekiel. Ezekiel came towards the end of the kingdom. In fact, he was carried into captivity. 586 BC. Just you understand. Isaiah was there long, around 700, almost like 300 centuries between them. Yet, they saw the same thing. Amen. Verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and so on and so on. Okay? Verse 14. Alright? Now this is where the game changes. He said, thou art the anointed cherub. That does what? Covers. I want you to understand that there is a covering within the soul. And somebody is responsible for it. And remember, there are two overshadowing now. We are seeing one overshadowing. In the tabernacle, there is also another overshadowing. So we are going from one overshadowing to another overshadowing. Amen. Hallelujah. That covers and have said this so. So God recognizes that this thing has an authority. God knows. God even anointed it. But it rebelled. Okay? Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou has walked up and down the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in you. Amen. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled you with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of thee. And it goes on and on. So, Isaiah, Ezekiel, they saw it. Amen. Let's see a third one, then we'll move forward. Let's go to Jeremiah. Let's look at Isaiah, another scripture, Isaiah 6. Jeremiah also saw it, but we're not going to go that way today. Isaiah chapter 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered the face, with two he covered the feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the dawn moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongue from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Amen. There is healing. Amen. There's healing. There's healing. Amen. Okay, let's go to the next part of the message. John, 1 John chapter 1. John chapter 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. Yeah, if you read the version of this in John chapter 1, it will be. So let's look at John chapter 1. Remember, it's the same man writing. So he was sharing his experience, his understanding. He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. Go to verse 12. Okay, let's read for 9. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and so on. Verse 12. But as many as received him. You can also read, as many as received light, he gave the power, or the light quickened them, to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were not born of blood, of the will of the flesh, but of God. Look at verse 14. This Word, which was in the beginning, that was with God, that was God, that has life, that has light. See, that Word was made flesh. So, when you look at the tabernacle, you see a box. You call it the ark. That is what he's talking about. The ark is a box, but it's not covered. It must be covered by God. Amen. That is the made flesh experience. This Word must come into the soul and must be made flesh. He says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There is a man, a physical man, called Jesus Christ, like you and me. Amen. Say amen now. There's a physical man called Jesus Christ. And in him, in that man, the fullness of God has been made flesh. As an example. Now, you have to read it in the context of Isaiah, in the context of Ezekiel. Because remember, in those places there was a rebellion. And we have seen in Romans that there is a rebellion working within the soul. Darkness is working. There is a law of sin and death within. Alright? But God has brought another man. And in him, the fullness of the Godhead has been made to dwell bodily. Amen. 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 Okay. Let's see Colossians chapter 2. I see we are getting tired. We can't go very far. The rain is making sure of that. Everybody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even the elements are working for our glory. Everything is turning around for our glory. Everything is turning around for my glory. Amen. I can see everything turning around Everything turning around. Everything turning around for my deliverance. Amen. Okay, let's go to Colossians. Colossians 2:9. It says, for in him what dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. Where? Bodily. Is that possible? Is that what you are seeking? What are you seeking? What seek ye? Jesus asked them. Amen. They asked them, we will see Jesus. Here I come now. What seek ye? Are you looking for contract? Or are you looking for so and so and so? Amen. Say, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. So this Godhead is coming to dwell in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so you have gotten it. Alright, so now that you have got it, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. From let's go to 14. Okay, let's read from 42. We're reading 1 Corinthians 15, 42. Amen. Say amen. Now don't be tired. I know you are strong men. You are strong men. Amen. Isaac took us for 4 hours. This is it. And we were still alive. I'm not going to even near 4 hours. Amen. He said, so also is what? Is the resurrection of the dead. Amen. The soul must resurrect. Amen. The three natures in man fell, the soul, the spirit, and the body, they fell. And the three of them must also rise. Amen. But there is an order. See, every man in his own order. Don't you understand? Amen. The spirit, the soul, then the body. The body is the last to follow. Amen. So you must labor to bring resurrection to your soul. It will change your body. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So it is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown in natural body, raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. So it is written. The first man, Adam, Genesis, was made what? A living soul. The last Adam was made a spiritual soul. Okay, a quickening spirit. Amen. So there is another one. It means that it's a dead soul. So there are three of them. Okay, the dead soul is not there. I put it in. Okay, I'm sure you will accept it. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're saying there are three types of souls. So if you are going to afflict the soul, the question is, what type of soul do you have? Amen. Do you have the dead soul? Do you have the living soul? Or you have the spiritual soul or the quickening spirit? Amen. Which kind of soul did Jesus have? Amen. Where was he? Which kind of Adam, which kind of soul did Adam have? The Bible says when God made Adam, he made him what? A living soul. Amen. What happened to him? The living soul fell. Amen. But the man was supposed to even go higher. I saw a poster somewhere. I said, let him go further. Have you seen it? I saw a poster. I said, let him go further. Adam is supposed to go further. Amen. So there are three types of soul. The dead soul. Brings forth dead works. You have the living soul. Brings on his own carnal works. And sometimes spiritual works. They have the spiritual soul. Or the quickening spirit. And brings forth life. Amen. Say amen now. Okay, you want us to take a break? Alright, so Okay, they say it just starts well. Okay, just pass one. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's now we are starting. You know, before we have been doing introduction for to bring everybody. Okay, we should go on faster. Okay. Amen. And so this is supposed to introduce anybody who doesn't understand the teaching about the soul and how we have made the journey to where we are now. So you can go home, look at the scriptures. You can even get more. Alright, now we want to really enter. Amen. You can remember, we are supposed to afflict the soul. So there are three of them. One, two, three. Alright. So, what Isaac was talking about the transformation. You can actually do this. Dead mind. Okay. Okay, you can put fleshly mind. So, now this is where the game starts. Okay, this is where we come to senior boys. Amen. And this is where God wants us to be, wants me and you to be. And this one, if you don't do something, if I don't do something, nothing will happen. Amen. So the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. There must be a change in the mind. There must be a change in the way the mind works. Amen. And God has given you and I instruments to use to bring about this change. But let's finish this scripture. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
So, verse 45 says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. What is he saying? He said, every one of us, we have a natural carnal, we came in with a natural carnal dead mind. Alright, let me put it this way to explain it a bit. So remember, this is that picture of our soul. Alright, so this is the soul. So this is the throne. And then this is the mind. You have the emotion. That is the lion. You have the will. That is the ox or the calf. Then you have the desire, which has the nature of a fallen man. Because say it has the face of a man. That is the fallen nature of man. Okay. So you have these four realms. Alright. You have these four realms. And we are saying there has to be a change. There has to be a transformation. Alright. And God expects that you or I will have to make this change. Now, this soul must have life. And then the mind gives life. That is the way it works. The mind is the head of the soul, is the chief part of the soul. The mind is the head of the soul, or the chief part of the soul. So if we draw another picture, remember, it says you are the temple of God. This is the temple of God. The mind is the temple of God. Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? So you see another temple here. So you also have the tabernacle of Moses, and it has a gate, and this gate is on the east. This is west. This is south, and this is north. So that's the dimension. So if anybody wants life from God, he must first of all come in and be born again. This is an altar of brass. Brass means judgment of sin, of unrighteousness, and so on. So for you to be born again, you must come to an altar where the soul is judged. So this is the soul. I'd rather say the mind. Alright, but you can accept the soul. Alright, there if you want. So this mind has been functioning here as an altar of Baal. Okay, altar of darkness in Egypt. So it's not that it's just falling from the sky. Something has been happening. The man has been functioning, and he comes into the congregation of God. So he comes into a place, and it is when he submits to that judgment that he begins to receive life from God. So this is the spirit of the man. And then this represents the spirit of God. This represents Christ. And this represents the Father. So this is the human spirit. And then the body is here. So this is the real temple of God. This one is a type of this temple. Amen. And life must come into this temple. Remember, the emotion must have life. The desire must have life. The will, the mind, they must have life. I remember there are only two types of light: darkness or light. Amen. And every one of us, when we were born into the world, we were born with a nature that didn't know God. So there was no life. There was a blockage. There was a blockage here. The Bible says, your sins have made a barrier. So this life of God couldn't come down. It was blocked. Now, we begin to receive life when that sin is dealt with. Now, when the sin is dealt with, the life of God begins to come in. Okay? It begins to come in. But the nature still not changed. The nature still not changed. And that is the job of the Day of Atonement, where this man must present himself to God for change. But while this is going on, somebody is here. He's the Antichrist. He's sitting upon the throne. Because he said at the beginning, he said, I will ascend and I will sit upon the throne. And when he gets there, there are other spirits. Bible calls them rulers of the darkness. So there are spirits that dwell in the emotions. There are spirits that dwell in the desires. Other ones dwell in the mind. Other ones dwell in the will. Amen. So there are these devils that have impacted themselves into these realms. And they are causing us to do the things we do not want to do. That's what Paul was saying. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. Okay, but let's read from scripture. Let's read from scripture. I don't just want to talk. Let's look at just a minute. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. 5 verse 15. No, sorry. Sorry, it's wrong. Sorry, Mark chapter 5:15. Mark 5:15. Says, and they came to Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting, clothed, and what else? And in his right mind. So what was it that happened to him? This legion, where were they? Where were the legion? Okay, let's read the story. Let's go back a little bit. Read verse 14. Here was a man that was uncontrollable. He didn't have clothes. Nobody could make him to sit down. Where was the problem? It was in his mind. It's not just that there was a problem in his mind. There were spirits that were dwelling in his mind. Amen. You know, this man, he brought a word about the lunatic. Do you remember the word? How many people remember the word? You know more. About the broadcast, raise your hand very well. I know you are there. Raise your... He preached the word about the lunatic. Okay, don't worry. We'll get there. Amen. God has to help us. Hallelujah. Brethren, there are spirits that dwell in the mind. They are called Amorites. It is the Amorite spirit. They are mountain dwellers. The Amorites, they dwell in the mountain. Amorite means a prominent one. I think actually he came from Nigeria. You know, one of the spirits that you and I have to overcome is what? High-mindedness. And you know, the thing is generational. That means not just a stone pillar. Eh? It is a pillar, an image, a nature that has come through generations. Amen. They thank God for Josiah. Hallelujah. Oh, I thought you'd be shouting. Thank God for Josiah. Because the Bible said that this man, all the idols and images, he brought them, ground it to powder, and blew it away. Amen. Hallelujah. There is such an anointing that is being given to you and I today. Amen. If you can receive it. That those images. You see, when we talk about this, where are they? These dead works. There is a national one. So you can put Nigeria. There is a tribal one. So I can put Igbo. And so on. Then there is a familiar one. So I can put. Amen. There are generational ones. There are stone ones. There are molten ones. And then there are groves. This one has, there's a barrier you build around it to secure it. Amen. Hallelujah. And these things are in the mind. There are spirits that supervise it. I passed one this morning. I noticed that somebody has gone to cut the bush so that you can, if you look where, you can see what's happening there. So there are still people who are worshiping the physical one. But you know, that's not the problem. The man has something in his mind that is reflecting outside. Amen. Images, their home is the mind. The mind is a home of images. So some of them, we are born with some. And some we acquired in our lifetime. Amen. God says, on the day of atonement, every one of them, we must throw them down and destroy them. Amen. Okay, so I was just trying to show the situation in the mind and the situation in the soul as to the fact that there is a work that needs to be done. But let me jump a bit because I think I should close very soon. We'll take a break and then maybe if we come back tomorrow, or I don't know how it will go, then we will continue. Now, regarding the soul, I was saying that there are three dimensions of the soul. The dead soul, the living soul, and the spiritual soul or the quickening spirit. If you look at Revelation 13, and 14. Revelation 14, and then 13 addresses 1 and 2, 14 addresses number 3. It talks about the beast that came from the earth, the beast from the sea, and then those who were in Zion. Alright, those are the three levels that you find in that place. I have to clean. Can I clean this? Can you clean this? Now, when we go into the mind, yes, this one, yes. No, don't clean. Just clean here. This one. Leave this place. Now, when we go into the mind has four realms, four natures. I was trying to show that the mind is the east gate into the soul. Okay, I don't know if those at the back can see. It's not very clear. Let me use the blue. The mind is the east gate. If anything is going to come into the soul, it must go through the mind. So, if anybody wants to transform the soul, if anybody wants to renew the soul, the first place you must deal with is what? Is the mind. Okay, so you must change what the mind it is. So, in other words, the mind is the lips. So this is Isaiah 6. He says, I was a man of unclean lips, and we saw that there was a ministry from the golden altar, because somebody took coals of fire from the altar and touched it and brought healing. Amen. So the mind must be clean. This mind must be healed, must be clean. Now, the scripture says, the entrance of thy word, it bringeth life. I think I'm going to stop. I see so many people are tired and sleeping. So, let's decide. What do we do? We should do what? We should rest. Okay. You who decide, let the elders decide what they want to do. They want us to rise, take a break, or we should close for today. You decide. Because I've not even started. This is, we are now entering. So you decide what we should do. If you want us to take a break, we can take a break. If you want me to fire out there, you have to be alive and be strong. Then we'll go. So you decide. I'm waiting. So do we stop, have a break, or close for today? Those who don't come to fellowship, don't talk. Oh. Let those who come to fellowship talk what they want. Because if you're only Sunday, we don't want to hear your voice. That is true. Let those who know what they're doing talk. So, do you want a break? Or you should close? Or we'll close for the day. Anyone you say, I am ready. Anyone you say, I'm ready. Brother Julius, what do we do? What's the time? What? So two. You decide whatever you want. Okay, he's saying we should close by 3. Yesterday we closed by 5. We don't have to go up to 5. No, we don't have to go up to 5. You know, we are the ones deciding. If we agree for 3 o'clock. No problem. If you say we should close, we will close. Okay, he's saying we should close to 3. You should stay and close by 3. Is that agreed? Yes. Go ahead, speak. Okay. So let's take a break and then come back. Okay, let's do this. Those who want to go, you can go. Arsenal is playing by 3 o'clock. You can go and watch, no problem. We release you. You can go and watch Arsenal. And eat some rice, no problem. Those who want, we can come back. So let's take 5 minutes break. So we are closing. Sorry, we are taking a break. Stretch our leg, then we'll come back after 5 minutes and close by 3. That's agreement. Okay, that's agreement. We're not having church service. We're having a teaching weekend. We're not Sunday people. We go as the Spirit of God leading us. And God told us this weekend is the teaching weekend that will end tomorrow. So we're not Sunday people. So church service suspended. Yes, we suspended what we call the teaching weekend. So let's stand up and bless God. You can go and ease yourself. We'll start in 5 minutes time. And we'll end by 3. Praise God. Amen. Let me bring my. I want to remove some.